1 Peter 2, these are verses 1 through 5. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And now verses 4 and 5, which will be the primary part of the study. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so the apostle has urged his readers, including us, pretty strongly in verse 1, to be holy, to pursue holiness. That's all holiness, all malice, all deceit, all evil speaking. So he's urged us to pursue holiness and also to pursue hunger. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. It would be a mistake to think that what he means there is as those who can't digest anything else. He's not using the image of milk the way the apostle does in Hebrews, where he says, I wish that you could go on to solid food, but you can only tolerate milk. Here he's saying, as newborn babes. And so, as if your life depended on it, as if it is the one of the few good things that you have yet, that you have so far discovered in God's good world, a newborn babe. And it is just about the best thing. So the apostle is urging us to holiness and the pursuit of holiness, laying aside, that's active, and hunger. And why is this hunger, especially then, for the Lord? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The reason that he gives in the continuing thought is because Jesus himself is temple, priest, and sacrifice par excellence. And we ourselves are being built upon him. And we too are being built up a spiritual house, a temple, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And so we are to hunger for Christ as those who are being built upon and grown in Christ for this offering up of the spiritual sacrifices in the household of God. And then the end of verse 5. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, in God's providence, we've recently studied worship, and we understand the need for the spiritual house and the spiritual sacrifices. Because as Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4, God's place of worship is no longer so much physical. Jesus told her, neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. Yes, gathering is required, but the place to which this gathering on earth ultimately assembles, and the place where it worships is, as Jesus told the woman, in spirit, because God is spirit. Even here we have that the worship takes place in glory, for we are offering these sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And we are offering them in a spiritual house. Verse 5. Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple in all its glory, glory that made those who saw it and then later Nehemiah's, made them weep for the comparison of the two glories. And yet what did Solomon say when he was praying at the temple dedication? Heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built. Therefore, it's actually all the more marvelous that when the church is being built and grown and sanctified in Jesus, who is its chief cornerstone, that all those things that we've been studying in Ephesians 1 through 4 are true of it. Solomon says heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. But then Ephesians, describing the same thing that the verses before us are describing tonight, that says that the church is being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Ephesians 2, verse 22. And that that God fills the church with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 2, verse 19. In chapter 1, verse 23 of Ephesians, he said that the church is the body of him who fills all in all, which is why the Lord Jesus gave himself in the first place, Ephesians 2, 10, that he who ascended is the one who fills all things. And not only did Jesus give himself as the first and great gift, but as we have begun now to study on the Lord's days, that Jesus gives each of us also the gift of being gifts. That he who gave himself has so set us apart that he would give us to one another in himself. So we have a similar idea here. He is the living stone, chosen and precious, but we also, he says in verse 5, as living stones. So something that God has first and foremost given to his Son and given in his Son, he gives us by analogy and in our union with Jesus to also be living stones like Christ, to be built upon Christ. And there is this parallel. Jesus, temple, priest, sacrifice, and we too, built up into a temple, Holy Spirit, holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices. Now we see why it was so urgent in verse 1 that we purify our Christian character, and in verse 2 that we feed our Christian growth, or grow our Christian hunger, as it were. For it is thus that God's temple is being built and staffed and consecrated unto him. As we pursue sanctification and attend upon the means of grace, we are like Bezalel and the skillful workmen of old. Everyone knows who Bezalel is, right? First one of whom the scripture says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was the chief artisan, foreman of the building of the tabernacle. And surely that anticipates this idea of our need for holiness and growth in Christ as we are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. You imagine Bezalel and Aholiab and the others who worked on the tabernacle, or the skillful workmen later to them, but still very of old to us, who worked on the temple as they were participating in the destruction of God's house of worship. What effort and care must have gone into that construction? What craftsmanship and attention to detail? What devotion of heart unto God? And that does round out, doesn't it, our view of our own sanctification and hunger for the Lord, and desiring the pure spiritual milk of the world, of the Word, in which we taste that the Lord himself is gracious. So that in the Word, it's the Lord upon whom we feed. Shouldn't we also then, in these things, put effort and care into the construction and give attention to detail and craftsmanship as we pursue sanctification and meditate upon God's Word and do so with devotion of heart unto God? But we are not just a spiritual house, as verse 5 says, but also a holy priesthood. Would we allow the Levites and the sons of Aaron to have been more careful about outward ritual cleanness that was required of them for their priesthood than we would be about righteousness of heart and mind and mouth and hand? God forbid that we would let them have the upper hand in this. Our entire life in this world, for our entire life in this world, we are about to come to engage in our priestly function in the house that is being built upon Jesus. We are never more we are never more than 6 days away from our next rotation to come on to priestly duties. For we are priests who do not rotate out like the Levites and the sons of Aaron did. But all of the priests are on duty every Lord's Day in the assembly that offers sacrifices acceptable to God. Spiritual sacrifices, verse 5. Acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so as holy priests who work in the spiritual house of verse 5, what does it say that we are to offer? What do we bring to such a house as this? For the worship takes place not only with that congregation in glory, but even more than that, the worship itself takes place in spirit, because God is spirit. All of the blood sacrifices have come to an end. The Lord Jesus has completed in himself all that they looked forward to accomplishing. And Christ himself is now the feast, where the Lord said, as you assemble to him, you must feast. You dare not come without the means of the feast. Now we dare not come without Christ, because we come to feast upon him. So that's the first answer. How do we offer up spiritual sacrifices? From our text, it says, we offer up those that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the first thing we must come with in our hands is the Lord Jesus himself, to feast upon him. He is the temple that was rebuilt in 3 days. He is the great high priest who offered himself as a once for all sacrifice. He is the feast whom we are invited to enjoy, not 3 times a year, but once every week before God. The second thing that we come to offer then through Jesus Christ, who is the first thing, according to verse 5, is spiritual sacrifices. Come to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, this is a counterpart on the Lord's Day to body sacrifices. Throughout the week, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 has a parallel teaching that unfortunately has been abused by many. They will say, see, the whole of life is worship. The whole of life is offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And yet, if everything is worship, then it doesn't, that takes all the meaning out of what it means to offer something as worship. But in the second place, in the parallel between Romans 12 and 1 Peter 2, there's a very intentional difference. Romans 12 verse 1 says to offer up your corpse, literally, your physical body, to God as a living sacrifice. And it is those who have been offering up their bodies as living sacrifices to God, who when they come into the temple, that assembly of God that is built upon Jesus Christ, out of these living stones, in their function as a holy priesthood, offering up in glory, they are not offering their corpses now, but they are offering spiritual sacrifices, not their bodies, but their souls. And so, Romans 12:1 corresponds to what we saw in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking. And verse 2 as well, that you don't come and feed just on Sunday. There's no newborn baby who would survive eating once a week. But we do that in order to be prepared for the holy assembly, God's household in the church. And so, when we come to the assembly of the saints that is built upon Christ, when we come to what this calls God's spiritual house, this text calls God's spiritual house, when we come into the function of public worship as the holy priesthood of the New Testament church, it is not our bodies that we offer up, but rather we do employ our bodies, but as a means of offering up our souls through Jesus Christ. What are spiritual sacrifices? Spiritual sacrifices are such things as praise and thanksgiving to God that we offer in the assembly. And it comes from the lips That's Hebrews 13:15. It comes from the lips of those who have offered their bodies in doing good and sharing throughout the week. And so often the good works of believers are also referred to as sacrifices in line with Romans 12:1. So Hebrews 13:16 and Philippians 4:18, which even called Epaphroditus the sacrifice of the Ephesian church, a sweet aroma to God. The spiritual sacrifice that is offered by those who are their whole life offering their bodies as living sacrifices includes things like singing, but especially prayer, which is sometimes called by Scripture to pour one's heart out before the Lord, or to pour one's soul out unto God. So 1 Samuel 1:15, Hannah pouring out her soul. Psalm 42:4, David pouring out his soul to God, crying out actually for the opportunity to return to public worship. Psalm 62:8, Lamentations 2:19, and so forth. Scripture not only refers to prayer as a pouring out of oneself or one's heart or one's soul, but also, and the references are innumerable, prayer as something that is offered up to the Lord. And now we see why we must be so careful about our souls. Imagine, children, when the worship was physical and you had that lamb or that goat, or perhaps you're a little one who is too small to handle the lamb or the goat, and you are assigned to carry the ephah of flour, and how very careful you would be with that lamb or that goat. Don't want to get any stains on it. Don't want it to get nicked by anything. You groom it real well so that it would be offered without blemish unto God. And maybe if all you could do is toddle with the sack with an ephah flower in it, you would toddle very carefully, or so carefully as you could. And Mom probably has a backup in case you happen to spill yours. But that was what was going to be offered unto the Lord in worship. Well, now we offer spiritual sacrifices, and I'm afraid we're a lot more careless throughout the weeks in many of our New Testament churches, and each of us ought to examine ourselves before God, what care we take with the soul that we are going to come to offer a spiritual sacrifice in the house of God on the Lord's Day. When that which was offered in public worship was physical, it would have been dreadful to think of offering unto God something that was tainted or even that had cost little. But shall we do so now with our eternal soul when we bring it to offer through Christ, who himself has offered his own blood to atone for that soul and redeem it for the purpose of worship? No, let this be a powerful weapon for us against our sin. Let us think to ourselves, I am going to be praying soon. I'm going to offer myself unto God with the family in the afternoon. I mustn't take my offering with this self-indulgence, or I will soon be offering my soul unto God at the close of the day. Let me not taint my offering with an unworthy thought. Or, I am going to come in just a few days into the holy assembly where Christ is temple and priest and sacrifice, and where we too, through him, as we come into glory, are being built up a spiritual temple, spiritual house, and a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. Let me not come having been slothful and careless about my soul. Let me not offer unto God that which has cost me nothing. But let me now, as I purify my soul, and as I hunger for the pure milk of the Word, put my hand to the plow and work out my salvation with fear and trembling, so that I may come and offer God that which has not cost me little. And so let us come now, yes, humbled by how poorly we have prepared for it, but also humbled by the privilege of offering ourselves unto God in prayer as spiritual sacrifice. We will offer him the spiritual sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving.
as we pour out our souls and offer up our prayers.